The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main Net Zero Progress website.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 7 minutes after 12 midday. Man in line today. What do A-level results actually mean? Where does it lead? Well, we'll be talking about the implications for students, the future workforce, island employers, parents, guardians, teachers. Now, if you have anything to add on this, perhaps someone in your family got an A-level result yesterday. You're not quite sure of where things lead, or any questions for the future employers? On Man in Line through till 1 o'clock today. And with me today in the studio, Ailish Williams was a student at Castle Rushen High School, now at Queen's Belfast, is that right?
That's correct.
Jolly
yeah.
Good. Is Queen's Belfast what you thought it would be?
Definitely, and more, I'd say. Yeah, I've had a great experience this past year and I'm really looking forward to continuing there.
Okay, Karen Wilson is head of HR at IFGL. Big employer, Karen. And do you have enough people? Do you need more people? What's the situation like?
Yeah. Well, I think at IFGL, you know, we've got two brands that people all know with RL360 and FPI, Friends Provident International, which is predominantly down the south. We've got over 450 people here on the island. So we are always looking for people. This is the head office of our company. We're an international provider, but the head office is very much firmly based here in the Isle of Man. So we're always looking for new people to come along and join us.
Okay. And head of people at KPMG is Lindsay Harris. How many people do KPMG employ?
Across the Crown dependencies, we operate across Jersey, Guernsey and the Isle of Man. We've got 450 people. Locally here in the island, we've got 145.
Okay, well, we're hearing from Jasmine Kelly, the principal of UCIOM, but also head of sixth form at Ballacameen High School, the man who has, well, I would say it's been stressful in the past 48 hours. Richard Caron is here.
It's definitely been stressful in the last 48 hours, yeah. But it's also been very good. It's been really interesting, and students have been really robust. They've been really strong. You can definitely tell their students who've gone through slightly more difficult times than previous students because they are ever so slightly more resilient, I would suggest.
Have you genuinely noticed a difference between, obviously, we're talking about COVID students and things that they've had to cope with over the past 2 years. You can genuinely spot a difference between this cohort of students and previous.
Yeah, 100%, actually. It was very, very noticeable yesterday when things didn't necessarily work out for certain students. They dealt with it in a slightly different manner. We didn't go through so many tissues as we maybe would have done in previous years. Very much a situation where they would say, right, this has happened. How are we going to move on from this? And I suppose that is something that they learned in the past sort of 24 months, really, where they've had to deal with so many different things, so much turbulence, and they've just had to deal with it, move forward. They definitely were different yesterday, and I was very proud of them.
I'm just wondering, I mean, for a teacher like you, as a head of sixth form, you experience, I mean, throughout the term times, lots of emotions, lots of stressors. You see academic progress and regression. You see discipline problems. How do you feel when you wave this, people off at the end of A-levels?
Yeah, I felt really sad yesterday because it's not just a normal cohort in the sense that we'd gone through some pretty big stuff together. You know, we've gone through the learning how to do online teaching. We'd gone through the how do we deal with centrally assessed grades. We'd gone through the how are we going to deal with the fact that you haven't got any exam practice and we've got to build exam practice in a small time. So we'd gone through a lot together, and it definitely felt strange, but it also felt great because they'd come through it and they were so excited. They're so excited about what they're going to do now. They're so excited that the world's opening up and that they're going to get the chance that they deserve to get to have a few, hopefully, COVID-free-ish sort of years and to enjoy the opportunities that come their way.
I mean, also, at the side of what you do inside Ballacameen, you're a broker. I mean, you talk to establishments right across the UK. You're a fixer, aren't you, for university places? I mean, that's part of the coalface a lot of people don't see.
Yeah, we are. And I've been fixing deals this morning, in fact, negotiating, trying to get people into sort of places they wouldn't necessarily normally get into, trying to make sure we can improve the lot of certain students. We have a lot of meetings throughout the year with various different universities. We have to make contacts. We schmooze, as my head teacher says, take them out for drinks. And then hopefully in August, when I need to, I can use my contacts to maybe make things slightly better for students who've had a difficult results day.
And what's the nature of some of those conversations? I mean, what do you say to somebody when you've got somebody who wants to get somewhere and you want to smooth the path and get them in there?
Yeah, it's a game of trust, I suppose. I build up trust with certain institutions so that they know that if I do recommend a student to them, they're a student who are going to work really hard. They're going to stay the course. They're going to be there for 3 years. They're going to make sure that the university get their money out of them, because it is a financial game as well at the end of this. And, you know, the student will be settled. They'll be well behaved. They'll work hard. If I am true to my word and I recommend a student who goes on to have a good time at that university, they'll be willing to do business with me the next year and the next year. So those conversations usually go along the line of, come on, you know me, you know what I'm like, you know I wouldn't recommend somebody who wasn't going to make this work. And it's a game of trust. If a student happens to go wrong or their pathway doesn't go in the way that they wanted it to go during university, they maybe wouldn't trust me. But that hasn't happened. Our students are great when they go away and they do the Isle of Man very proud.
Head of people at KPMG is Lindsay Harris. I mean, Lindsay, when you get somebody who comes in for interview, I mean, at what stage when they come in for interview have you seen their CV? Do you know what sort of role that they're looking for and you're looking for? What stage are you at?
Yeah, so as part of our sort of screening process, people will apply through our website. We do some numeracy and verbal reasoning. And then at that stage, we screen, and then we take successful candidates through to interview at that point. And then there's a two-stage interview process, and that could be whether they're going into our audit part of the business. We also have tax trainees. We have students going into our advisory practice as well. So we look at the most sort of appropriate role for them as part of the recruitment process. And then, but we're looking for students from sort of August time for our intake for the following year. So we're recruiting all year round for our students.
Okay, Karen Wilson, head of HR at IFGL. Karen, are you looking for graduates, undergraduates? What sort of intake do you look for at IFGL?
A mix through of intakes, especially this year. We've probably taken on about 20 so far of people that were pending their results, waiting for their A-level results. And those are people that have decided not to go on to university, wanted to get into the world of work.
So their places are dependent on getting results or not?
They're not, no. They're not dependent on the actual grades or those results. We're looking for people who have just got a general, you know, all-round level of education, that they will come into our entry-level positions, which are predominantly based in our operations area in Castletown. So we're looking for people that can be, you know, work as part of a team, good communication skills, you know, got an open mind, maybe don't know what they want to do longer term. Whether they want to move on to professional qualifications or move with just within financial services and develop a career within the office.
And what's IFGL's policy on training, ongoing training for for people who are coming into the business?
For new people that come into the business, it depends. If we have people that go into like trainee accountant positions, they will have a formal accountancy training program, which with a you know, they will sign up either with an online provider or through local providers, or even up at the college do different courses to support them to get that professional qualification. If people, you know, some people have had enough of studying, don't really want to carry on doing lots of studying and want to break away from that, we do on-the-job training. So you'll be assigned a buddy when you join the office. It will be training with people, you know, similar age or maybe similar experience to yourself. They will train you up. And then you may decide that you want to specialise in a certain area, whether it be finance, tax, HR, IT, marketing. We've got all those opportunities within our department, with it being within our company, with that being the head office on the Isle of Man.
Ailish Williams used to be at Castle Rushen High School, now at Queen's Belfast. Ailish, did you always know you wanted to go to university?
Yeah, I did actually.
From what age?
I don't know. I think it was always just the idea that I would go. My parents kind of expected me to go, and then when I got to secondary school, I really found I enjoyed studying French and English, and I always thought it'd be really great to go away and study that at university.
And what are you reading at Queen's Belfast?
I'm going to into my second year now, and I've got two modules in Romantic poetry and one in 18th century literature.
Okay, do you have any idea what you're going to do after university?
I have absolutely no clue at all. I kind of went away because I enjoy education and I wanted to further my knowledge in these subjects. I don't really have any kind of idea what I would like to do afterwards. I wasn't really in it for the job prospects, which okay. is clear because I'm doing French and English.
Okay, and what was the atmosphere like in the year 12 and 13 at Castle Rush in high school at that time? Was everybody looking to university, or did they want to go into work, or did they, what was the thought?
It was very mixed, to be honest. I was one of the COVID students, so I took my exams last year and I got teacher assessed grades. And when I was in year 12, we had the 3 month lockdown, and then year 13 we had the two circuit break lockdowns. So my education, all of our education, was really quite interrupted, which really put a strain, I think, on exams. And you know, a lot of students, I think, lost hope in going to university.
How did you cope with that?
I kind of just thought, you know, get your eye on the prize and just really try and, you know, make the best out of a bad situation. So I think I was quite lucky in the fact that I had a motivation or I had a goal to work towards. But I know some people who really were disheartened by, you know, the lack of contact that we had with school. And yeah, I think a lot of people decided it would be best to stay on Ireland instead of going to university, which is great because I know a lot of people who are really enjoying their time here at UCM and working. And yeah, it's just, I think it's just put a broader perspective on, you know, what you can do after leaving school.
Okay, David's with us on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy. I've got a couple of questions specifically for Richard Caron, if I may.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Richard, if you can hear me.
Good afternoon.
Two questions for you, Richard. I just wonder what your thoughts are on the potential for establishing an all-Ireland sixth form rather than having five separate ones.
Okay.
And secondly, how far are we getting with getting students being able to offer contextual offers from universities? As you know, my petition to Tim Wald failed this year because I wasn't a university applicant, but I'm quite passionate that our students should be able to get contextual offers.
Yeah, thanks very much. First question was about an all-Ireland sixth form college. This is something that significantly splits the opinion across the Isle of Man at the moment. There's definitely advantages for an all-Ireland sixth form college, and I suppose certain people would argue that there's disadvantages too. The advantage would be you're putting lots and lots of students in the same place who can all work in classes and push each other and share their interests and really drive increased learning in certain areas. If you put all your class assists in one classroom, then it's probably going to generate better conversation. It's going to probably generate more interest. It's going to create a really interesting group of people on the Isle of Man who are interested in classics. Same if you do it with French. I studied French, so I've got five or six people in my French class. There's five or six people in Castle Russians. If you put them all in one class, you probably are going to increase the standard. You're certainly going to probably get a better standard of spoken French. So there's definitely arguments for that. I suppose logistically, where would you put it? How much would it cost? How would it be fair on certain people who'd have to travel different lengths?
They're all questions for politicians to answer, but I can
certainly speak from an educational point of view. If you actually look just at the pure teaching aspect of it, I can see there being huge advantages to it. But that's just a teacher's answer. I'm not a politician with the money behind me to know whether that's feasible or not.
How topical is this, and how likely is this? Just a political suggestion? Is it an educational establishment suggestion, or is it pie in the sky?
No, it's not pie in the sky. This is on the table. This is something that was in the manifesto of quite a few of the politicians. Quite a few of the politicians have had conversations with me about it already, and they've asked my opinion about it. What would be the pros? What would be the cons? We're still talking about it. I mean, this is suggesting I have any sign of influence, which I don't. They're just asking me from a point of view of somebody who works in post-16 education. So it's definitely on the table. It's just a question of finances, and we're in a position where, as an island at the moment, money isn't a luxury for us, so that will always be a stumbling block.
And the second question?
The second question is something that I share a very similar passion
well,
for.
Well, first, you're going to have to explain the question. What's a contextual, what was it?
So a contextual offer. So basically, at the moment, certain universities will do contextual offers on grades. So for example, if you're a student who goes to Eton School and you get an A at Eton, then that A will mean something slightly differently than if you go to a school in a deprived, socially deprived area where they don't get so many A's. Now, getting an A at Eton isn't actually very unusual. They've got very small class sizes. They've got a very high socioeconomic area around the school. Students with a lot of ability to get extra lessons, extra tuition, at very sort of affordable cost to their parents. Whereas if you're in a socially deprived area, then often the students can't get so much help out of school. Often they have high staff absences in their schools for various different reasons. So what the caller, David, is referring to is, when will the Isle of Man open access up to contextual offers? So schools in England all buy into a programme where they put various different contextual elements about their school. So what is the average earning of the parents of their school? How many of their parents are unemployed? What is the ratio of free school meals to non-free school meals? All that kind of stuff. And that goes in a system. And for example, Oxford University will buy into that system and they will judge their students on contextual offers. So an offer, for example, from Ballycommeen High School, where I work, would be different from an offer from Eton. So if they were looking at a student with A star A from Eton, they might look at that in the same way they'd look at a student with A from Ballycommeen, so two grades lower, because they'd say an A is worth more at Ballycommeen because of how hard a kid would have to work to get it than it would necessarily be at Eton. That is essentially a very raw description of what David's talking about. It would be amazing if we could get a programme where universities could get contextual offer on our students. Of course it would. It would help the students. Anything that helps the students is something I'm very in favour of.
Okay. David, final word on that?
Yeah, no, I'm a great believer. I put a petition to Tim Mould in July on the Hill. That was ruled out of order because I wasn't applying for university. Now, I was doing it on behalf of students who may not even know about contextual offers. So I was very, very disappointed when our MHKs talk about fairness and equality, that they ruled it out on a petty point like that.
Okay. All right. We appreciate your call, David. Thanks for being with us today. Man in Line, we're talking about what A-levels really mean, also the future workforce, island employers, and also for parents and guardians. Richard Caron is here, head of sixth form at Ballycommeen High School. Karen Wilson's head of HR at IFGL, big employer on the Isle of Man, RL360 and Friends Provident. Lindsay Harris, head of people at KPMG. Ailish Williams, now at Queen's Belfast, used to be at Castle Rushen High School. And the principal of UCIOM is Jessamine Kelly. And for Jessamine Kelly, for those who haven't received the grades they were looking for, the message?
Don't panic. There are alternatives for everybody. Our student services team are on hand and can help anybody who's got any queries around their results or what their next steps are. In terms of other offers, we have our professional and vocational qualifications in a range of different course areas too. So, and many of those carry UCAS tariffs too. So there are opportunities to gain BTECs, cash, health and social care, or the qualifications that would take you to university, and also our access to higher education route, which is a one-year course for adults, which helps you get the level of study required to go to university in a quicker route than A-level.
And what sort of person might benefit, because some industries like a hands-on approach to learning, whereas other professions might be more tricky to break into without an actual degree?
Yeah, so obviously we have a quite broad apprenticeship route, and we're always seeking to develop that further and extend our course offerings. So for example, this year we've added a forensic criminology route to our college suite of courses, which is a practical science course with opportunities to study psychology and criminology within it. So you'll get those like broader skill sets. Many of our level three courses carry a UCAS tariff equivalent to A-levels as well. So they're learning practically but gaining UCAS points at the same time. I think in terms of university, obviously at university you'll get that big student campus experience, but you'll at UCM you'll get a dedicated experience where you'll be a known person and people will know what your needs are. So that there are real benefits to that. Many of our students this year have achieved top grades and are progressing into employment directly or into higher education, either on the island or off island. So we've got a range of people progressing into higher level study or skilled employment too.
And later on we'll talk about what being a student off the Isle of Man means. Whether, I mean, some people can't wait to get off the Isle of Man. Lots of people go off the Isle of Man and can't wait to get back. But remember what MHK Rob Callister said.
We are currently losing one in every two students. We've got to identify that. We've got to work out what is the core reason behind that. Is it housing? Is it skills? Is it opportunities? Because we've got enough employment opportunities. But when I was talking to someone just the other day, they're unemployed. They can't get a job on the island. And when I spoke to them, they reckon it's because employers are being over picky. Maybe employers need to take a chance. Rob.
27 minutes past 12 on Man in Line.
Manx Utilities are currently replacing prepayment customers' key meters with new smart electricity meters in homes in Port Erin, Port St Mary, Bala Beg and Culby. As a smarter pay-as-you-go customer, you can access our new Smarter Living app to keep an eye on your energy use in real time and to top up your credit quickly at a time that suits you. You can also top up at selected stores and via our website. To find out more about the changes, visit the Smarter Living page at manxutilities.im.
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677 888 or email reception@advocates.co.im.
Summer specials at ShopRite. Beers, wine, burgers, bangers. Everything barbecue and picnic. Super fresh, minimum prep, and only as far away as your nearest ShopRite. See how low our summer specials are right now and think, with fuel at how much a litre, why drive miles further? And you save even more by switching your usual brand for our Sainsbury's own. Up to 35% less. So absolutely no need to hold the mayo. ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Whether you like live music, theatre, film, or running around in circles pretending to be a superhero, you'll love Villa Gaiety. With Dragon's Castle Play Area, Broadway Cinema, Gaiety Theatre and the Villa Marina. Check out the upcoming events at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Villa Gaiety, the island's premier entertainment venue.
Oh, I just hate being without you.
The Sunday Chill Out, Chris Pearson.
Summer 2022 chill, even when the weather doesn't want to join the party. The Sunday Chill Out brings the Ibiza beach vibes to you between 7 and 9 every Sunday evening. Get in touch by emailing chill@manxradio.com with your chilled out tune choice or a suggestion for our 8:30 Sunday Slammer.
Chris Pearson. The Sunday Chill Out.
The Man in Line. Brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Well, it was A-levels yesterday. Next week, it's GCSEs and lots more exam results are coming out with Richard Caron from Ballacameen, Karen Wilson from IFGL, Lindsay Harris is here from KPMG, Jessamine Kelly, the principal of UCIOM, Ailish Williams, currently studying at Queen's Belfast. Well, you know, I'm going to ask this. Are you going to come back to the Isle of Man, bearing in mind what a city Belfast is?
Well, the real question is, can I afford to move back here? I mean, the cost of living, the increase in housing prices, inflation, it's all just so daunting. And living in Belfast works out a lot cheaper than it would be to move back here.
In what way? How is it cheaper?
House prices are a lot lower. For next year, me and two other people will be renting a flat for about £800 a month over there. Whereas over here, I have a friend who's got a two-bedroom flat, which is a grand or so per month. So it doesn't really seem that feasible for me to move back over here straight after completing my degree.
In terms of social life, obviously Belfast will have a lot more to offer than the Isle of Man does. Do you think the Isle of Man has got enough for young people returning?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think we could do a lot more to boost the enjoyment, maybe, of young people or make it more attractive to move back here. I mean, the island has a large population of older people, of the older generation, and younger generations, like small people growing up, because it's such a safe place to live. But I think for people who are in their 20s, maybe early 30s, or even my age, it doesn't really seem that attractive to live here at the moment, which is a great shame. It really is.
Karen Wilson, head of HR at IFGL, does that ever figure in your calculations, the fact of maybe young people coming to the Isle of Man to work for IFGL? It's wonderful, bays and glens and beaches and what have you, mm-hmm. just not much else to do.
No, I think it is, you know, a big concern. Some people, I think those people that have been born and brought up on the Isle of Man, sometimes it's going to the UK is that a big escape, moving over there and then wanting to come back. And then, okay, some people, you know, want to come back to their family and their friends and look at that and then start earning, you know, really get into roles. And we have graduates that come back. Of being away, you know, we've taken I think about 5 on this year that have come back and actually gone into financial services because they've been and they've done a degree. They don't know why they want to come back to the island, but they just feel they want to come home.
Okay, Lindsay Harris from KPMG. In terms of the Isle of Man being more expensive to live than elsewhere, I mean, does that figure in salary levels over here?
Yeah, I mean, we look at our salaries as part of our annual review process. Each year, so and we take part in surveys across all of the three islands as well, so we understand that we are in the right place from a market point of view, but certainly the cost of living at the moment has certainly been a significant factor in the process this year.
Which is more expensive, Jersey or the island?
Jersey is more expensive, closely followed by Guernsey and then obviously the Isle of Man.
Okay, Richard Caron from Ballycommeen High School, head of sixth form. I'll call you Mr. Fix-It from now on, by the way. You were talking about people not being able to come back or not wanting to come back because of cost. How much do you think that figures in people's calculations?
I think it figures quite significantly in people's calculations. When I talk to students who've completed their degrees and they are considering what to do next, they're considering where they get their next, well, they get their first job, they get their first move into employment. And it's a really large factor that they are struggling to see a way of affording a new life on the Isle of Man. And you know, I moved back at the age of 40 and I had help from my parents initially to settle, and I'd been working for 16 years. So it is definitely difficult. I came back from Nottingham, which was significantly cheaper in terms of the standard of living costs. So, yeah, I think it is a problem. Of course, family is a huge pull for our students. And so, you know, I came back for my family. Lots of students will eventually come back for their family. And we've always got that in our favour. People will always want to go home, essentially. They'll come back to roost, if you like. But it is something that we need to look at because we have got serious talent over in England that is Manx wanting to come back and can't actually envisage a way they can make that work financially. And that worries
me. And also there'll be a financial calculation. The public purse has invested in their education for 14 odd years and it's sitting over there in England. So we got no return on our investment almost.
Absolutely. That is a major problem as well. And also you need to have new people coming in to pay into the pension pot. We have to have new blood coming over and paying into that. You know, and you see that from a teaching point of view. You've got to have new teachers coming over so they can pay into the pension pot, because otherwise you'll have a teaching population that's aging. And when they all retire, we're going to be in a real problem.
What proportion of A-level successors of your A-level cohort, percentage-wise, go to university and which go on to other things?
So this year we've had 135 students in year 13 and 78 of them have gone over to the UK for university. So, you know, that is quite a high proportion. It's actually slightly higher than the proportion that was reported by Rob Collister in the news. So I don't know if Ballycommeen's an enigma in that sense. I don't know if it's unique, but it is quite a high proportion. It does mean there's still lots of people staying on the island, and most of those people are probably actually going into employment. Some are going to the UCM, very exciting courses at the UCM. You know, I talked on the radio the other day about this very exciting new criminology course that they've started there, which is brilliant because criminology is Britain's most popular degree course at the moment. So it's great
all those
Scandi
Noir detective
yeah, programs. So it's great that we can do that on the Isle of Man. I think that's really cool, and I'm really happy that that's happening, and the students are really into that.
One thing that doesn't hang over students, whereas it used to and sometimes does in the UK, is the spectre of unemployment on the Isle of Man. We have negative unemployment on the Isle of Man. I mean, are students ever concerned about not getting a job?
I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think they think that far ahead when they're at our stage. They're obviously, they're thinking about getting into university, doing their university degree, and hoping the picture slightly changes for them over there. They don't really talk to me about that as a factor. You are completely correct. We have lots and lots of jobs here and not necessarily enough people to fill them, and the two people next to me will tell you that. But I don't think that necessarily comes into their mindset. And maybe that's something, Andy, that I should be talking to them about a little bit more.
Okay. We're talking about A-level results today, the implications. And Jessamine Kelly is the principal of UCIOM. Just talk to us about the facilities at UCIOM, because traditional university for most, they go off at 18, freshers week, live on a campus, or maybe in digs. But that might not be for the case for those that are staying on the Isle of Man. So is there any sort of system like that? Because it's quite an attractive proposition to have independence. Do students still have that by staying on the Isle of Man?
You can't exactly be a university, but we can certainly offer some things that are uniquely special to a college that a university would struggle to offer, and that's that kind of personal approach where we do know the students as individuals and we take the time to induct them and make sure they're ready for that next level of study in relatively small class sizes, so that there are some advantages in that.
And looking at student grades, well, they're down at the moment, and that's being attributed to the pandemic. Do you think teaching staff were over lenient on grades during the pandemic?
No, I think staff were given really clear guidance and followed the procedures that were provided by the awarding bodies. In terms of student progress, we've actually put quite a lot of mechanisms in place this year because we recognise that for some students they'll be returning to some controlled assessment or exam-based outcomes which they may not have studied for 2 years. So we introduced pre-CALM exam rooms, we brought in therapy dogs, we had other strategies including one-to-ones for English and maths so that they could help develop those skills, look at and practicing the sort of art of doing exams and controlled assessments, if you like, as well as doing the practical application in their vocational studies. So we've really tried to learn from the pandemic and build on that, and certainly I think nationally, you're right, there will be a slight dip, and that's a planned dip, I think, by the awarding bodies to try and bring grades back to where they were pre-pandemic. But we've really tried to work hard to make sure we've mitigated and that our students have really got the best opportunity to get the grades they need.
Karen Wilson's head of HR at IFGL. How many roles have you got going at the moment, Karen?
We've probably got about another 10 or so, but we've always got the churn where people are retiring or, you know, want to move on or move off island, and then we have some that just join us for a 12-month period.
What I'm trying to ask is, how stressful is your job?
Well, it certainly keeps us on our toes.
Life happens. Yeah. People join, people leave all the time. Mm-hmm. Is it an uphill struggle, or is it yours a company that people recognise and want to join?
I think we've had quite a lot of interest and people coming straight to us direct or from referrals from family and friends coming in. And we've had people that want to join us maybe just for 12 months for if they're taking that gap year or want to earn some cash before they decide whether they want to go to university or progress a career internally. So it's definitely very busy. You know, as a growing business, we've had lots of mergers, acquisitions, and the business has grown. Our focus, you know, we're here to stay, is very much our head office here. So bringing roles to the Isle of Man, but we just need more people.
Okay, Lindsay Harris from KPMG. Lindsay, what proportion of people come in from outside the Isle of Man to the Isle of Man?
Is that just for sort of A-level or so we don't have a huge amount that will relocate particularly to the Isle of Man. We may have one, two, possibly three a year in our intake of around sort of 10 to 15 between graduates and school leavers, but we offer a relocation package for students who want to come to the island, and we do that across all of our jurisdictions as well. We do have probably a slightly higher number going into some of our other jurisdictions, but where we can, we are looking for, you know, to keep our local talent here.
Mm. How long have you been in the job, Lindsay?
4.5 years.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, in terms of perspective, how's the standard?
The standard is very good. We have a criteria for A-level of BBC to be able to take one of our trainee roles or a 2-1 at graduate level. But the standard is very high, but it is a very, very competitive market out there. As Karen's just said, there is a lot there's more people than there is jobs.
Okay, how many jobs have you got spare at KPMG?
As I say, our intake is open. We open it from August for the following year. We still have a few vacancies within our trainees across all of the islands. It has been a difficult market this year. During the pandemic, it was a little bit easier for us to find students, and I think that was mainly because we weren't subject to really long lockdowns, that people were coming back because they could stay and they had the freedom here. So we actually took more students last year than we normally would because that talent was there. Whereas this year it has been slightly more difficult.
Okay, you're head of people at KPMG. Does that mean you make the final decision if somebody's hired, or is there a committee?
I have a recruitment team, and our recruitment team is across the three jurisdictions that we operate in, and we have a specific member of staff who looks after all of our students as well, and he looks after them as they go through their journey on their 3-year training contract with us. As they embark on their ACCA qualification or their ACA qualification.
UCM principal is Jessamine Kelly. So Jessamine, in terms of teaching staff and actual cutting edge facilities, does UCIOM have similar setups to what you can see in universities across? Because a lot of those pride themselves on state-of-the-art facilities.
Yes, so we have a range of different environments. You'll notice at UCM is that we have upgraded several of our environments. We're continuing to improve and develop our study hubs, our areas where you can break out and have that kind of modern work environment. We obviously have our real work environments, the restaurant, the salons, our art studios, our engineering workshops, our construction workshops, which are our really compare well to UK offering, and we have a range of different spaces. We also use the nunnery, and many of our HE students go to the nunnery, where we have an excellent lecture theatre and a really beautiful environment to study in. So I think in some ways the students have access to a range of really exciting resources, but also our staff are equally qualified. We invest in our staff to gain the master's level or PhD level study they need to teach at higher education level, and many of our staff are currently being published, so we really do have a really high skill set for our HE and our FE delivery.
Ailish Williams used to be at Castle Rushen High School, now at Queen's Belfast. You enjoy Queen's?
I do, yeah.
What's the best thing about it?
Independence, I want to say. It's nice to have my own space and to...
Are you in halls or in digs?
I was in halls last year and I'm going into my own flat this year.
Okay. Richard, you were mentioned earlier, aren't you? You're trying to fix somebody into Queen's, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah, I'm doing a deal this morning about Queen's, and I'm in a pretty good place. So I'm hoping to go and close that this afternoon. I think we're well set up, and I've been telling the student how good it is over there. It's a great place to go to university. It's actually a really safe university town as well. There's a lot to do, and it's just a beautiful country to explore as well, isn't it? And you can go to so many different places. So I'm hoping we'll close that one this afternoon.
A-levels and subsequent to A-levels today on Man in Line on Manx Radio.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists, and we're here to help. Call 692 400. Aon. Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861-271.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials' skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew at manxmemorials.co.uk.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see in this?
Mm-hmm. Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. 13 minutes before one. Richard Cowan, you wanted to talk about, what was it, drop grades?
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear to people that the media, the mass media, is talking a lot about how grades have dropped, or there's been fewer A grades or A star grades this year. But actually, what has happened is that we have seen the first examination season since 2019, and it's very unfair to compare results from an examination season with a non-examination season, which was last year. So if you actually compare the results with the last examination season, which was 2019, you'll see that there was 14.5% A stars this year. So 14.5% of the grades awarded were A stars. And the last time we did A levels was 2019, and there were 7.7% A stars. So there are double the amount of A stars this year than there were the last time we did an exam season. And really interestingly, if you look at the amount of A stars to A, so all grades that were either A star or A, this year is 35.9%. So you're talking about 36% of grades were either A star or A. And yet the last time we did A-levels, it was 25%. So that's a huge increase, actually, on the last time we did A-levels. So we've just got to be very careful when we say that A-stars have dropped and the A's have dropped, because actually, if we're looking at them in comparison, they haven't. The government have very cleverly pulled back the top grades half the way to where they were in 2019. It is probably likely they will pull them back again next year so that they actually get to the same levels of 2019. So it's not a dropping at all in any standard. It's simply a very calculated move by the government to get us back to where we were in 2019 so that we can carry on with the system that at that point worked very well.
Okay, I've got a question in a text in from Amanda, who just said, listening to Richard Caron about coping with the students, is there only him that has to deal with all the nerves and the tears?
No, I've got a team, a wonderful team, a sixth form team at Ballycommeen. In fact, because I've come out to talk today on Man in Line, I've got two of my deputy heads of sixth form, James McDonald and Danielle Cusgrin, are in school at the moment working on a couple of deals for me, and they'll be in with the students as well. I'll go back and join them this afternoon. Yesterday we had about eight of us in. I obviously head up the team, but no, it's definitely not me who deals with everything myself. That would be too difficult. I've got a great team.
You do deal with floods of tears sometimes.
I definitely do, yeah. No, I do. I've always got a box of tissues in my room. I deal with a lot of very upset people.
And what are your strategies for turning that round?
To make them see the positives in life at all times, and to make them know that I'll make sure that I get them out of it, and that we'll make sure that the light at the end of the tunnel is seen and that we get there, and be very positive about it, and let them know that I'm never going to abandon them.
Okay, a note in from Jeff, who just said, could you ask the people in the studio, a large percentage of students will go to university, like stated. One in two possibly won't return to the Isle of Man because they want opportunities to further their careers. I understand the need for higher education, but are we missing an opportunity, or perhaps even failing students that don't want to go to university, as we don't have apprenticeships anymore, like building trades and things like that? So why is there no emphasis on manual trades? Surely we don't, you know, we concentrate on university, but you do need apprenticeships, and we do need people with physical skills. We need plumbers and bricklayers. We need electricians. We need gas fitters. Richard Caron?
Yeah, when I was brought up, by a father who was very much of the belief that life is not all about university. And so that's always been a real core value for me. And when I came into Ballacameen, I made that a priority. We have a lot more people now not going to university, actually, than we did 5 years ago, because we are better at seeing the opportunities on the island. I do agree with the caller, the need to be more opportunities on the island, but people are working on that. We're all working together on it. We're trying our best. I meet with the Department of Enterprise quite regularly, actually, and we talk a lot about what the students want to do, and they're definitely trying to make that happen. But I can assure you, at school, we are not just talking to them about university. That would be very much against what I believe.
Okay, with Karen Wilson, who's head of HR at IFGL. Just tell me, Karen, the skills that people will acquire at IFGL, are they transferable around the world?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. You know, general financial services and working in an office environment will give you a really good grounding of how products work, investment products, and other financial services that we offer. So, you know, there's that training. And then we would also support people through professional qualifications.
I was going to ask you that. What sort of exams can you have? I mean, do you pay the exam fees? Do you pay course fees?
Yeah, we would support them. Anything that's relevant to their role. So
if
they want to specialise.
Is that contingent on passing?
It's not. No, we will support people through their studies. For example, if they wanted to do the ACCA or they wanted to do investments, the Securities Institute, if they want to progress that way, or even just some of the general financial product ones like LP1 to the CII. We will support them with those. So we pay for all the costings to go. We'll give you study leave to do those. So we encourage people to, you know, take those exams. We pay for them. If they don't pass, you know, we again support them through resits. But just passing exams is not the be all and end all. You know, you can gain a lot of experience through practical work. And, you know, some people are just not able to pass exams, but they can be very good. You know, we've had a lot of students that have joined us because university is not for them. Writing exams is not for them. But they've gone on to have really long, successful careers.
Karen, what do you do if somebody takes advantage of your training and exams and then skips and goes to somebody else? What happens?
We do ask them to sign up to a professional studies training programme. So if they do decide then to move on to a competitor, they may need to repay some of those costs to us. But again, that's only over a certain period. That could be sort of for 12 months after they've passed them. It's not something to say if they leave in 5 years, 10 years time, you're still going to have that debt owing to us.
OK, Ailish Williams at Queen's University. You're in year...
I'm going into my second year.
You're going back into your... And did you pass the first year OK?
I did, yeah, thankfully.
Jolly good. What would your message be now to somebody who may be listening during school holidays? Schools aren't back for a couple of weeks' time. Who is thinking about university but doesn't quite know? Where can you get the best advice from?
I would say listen to your teachers. I was really, really fortunate to have a lot of really supportive teachers at Castle Rushen who looked out for us all and made sure we all felt quite secure and safe and confident in what we were doing. And so my advice would just be listen to the people around you, but at the same time, you need to do what you want to do. And if you go to university and you don't like it, that's okay, because uni isn't for everyone. And if you stay here and you wish you went, you can go again another year, you know, it's all up to you.
Would you call yourself an assiduous student? You concentrate on your studies?
I try to. Okay. Yeah. Belfast is a bit of a party city, but okay.
We've heard about, obviously, university being a life experience, and there's a big social life that's going on there. But how do you differentiate? How do you compartmentalise, you know, when to concentrate on academic studies?
I found it quite easy, to be honest.
You have to have discipline to do that, don't you?
Oh, yeah,
it's not
really
school.
You really do, yeah. You really need to go and be passionate about what you're doing, because if you don't enjoy your subject, you will just lose interest completely, and then your grades will deteriorate, and then you're in this pit all of a sudden, and you don't know what to do.
Okay, Lindsay Harris, Head of People at KPMG. What's your website, Lindsay?
It's KPMG in the Crown Dependencies.com. KPMG.com.
Okay, and your message to anybody who'd like to join KPMG is?
That we offer a really exciting and challenging environment in terms of, you know, you will learn lots. We've got lots of experienced people, whether you go into audit, whether you go into tax or advisory, you know, the you'll be stretched, and it's a great place to work.
Richard Caron's head of sixth form at Ballacameen High School. Back to the coalface this lunchtime.
Yeah, straight back in after this. We've got some deals to have this afternoon, and it's exciting though, and the students are positive. So I've got an appointment list all afternoon up to 5 o'clock. So I'll make sure that I'm on form for that one.
All right, thanks for being with us today. Richard Caron, head of sixth form at Ballacameen High School. Karen Wilson, head of HR at IFGL. Lindsay Harris, head of people at KPMG. Ailish Williams, used to be at Castle Rushen High School, now heading into a second year at Queen's in Belfast. And Jessamine Kelly, principal of UCIOM. Anything you want to follow up, by the way, email maninline@manxradio.com. The answer phone is 682631. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Open line on Monday. Have a good weekend.
WIN.